The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with KD Trey having his say. Durant sends Twitter a flitter. You won't believe what he's saying now. Meanwhile, his former teammate basking in the glow and the pettiness. Why this one meant absolutely everything to Steph Curry. Plus, hold everything. Did you hear what Bart Scott said about Peyton and Brady? Is it possible he's actually right? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now. On a Monday, we are back and better than ever, baby. Let's go. And I am delighted to meet P.K. Subban, who is here with all of our hockey conversation and much more. Delighted to have you.
Excited to be here, man.
C.J. McCollum is here, and he's got to knock down some threes today. And that's not all. We got a squad put together for you today. Timmy Legs is knocking down threes. Neek is in trouble, and Steph Curry would like a word. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Jeremy Fowler and Big Perk is in traffic, but he'll be with us in about 15 minutes. Let's go. We start in the NBA, where the Warriors have won four championships over the last 8 years. One of them before Kevin Durant, two of them with Kevin Durant, and now one of them since. Friday, here on this show on Get Up, Charles Barkley was talking about KD's legacy now that his old team has returned to the top of the mountain. Here's what he said.
Before KD gets that great respect from all the old heads, he's going to have to win a championship as the guy, as the bus driver. Listen, he joined this, that team had already won a championship, so no disrespect, that's just a fact. But until he is the guy on a championship team, we're not going to ever give him the respect, I mean, that he probably deserves. And that's just the way it is. And like I say, the game hasn't changed. Kobe said it. LeBron said it. And so we're going to hold him to the same high standard.
So that was Sir Charles with us the other day. Now, Kevin Durant, who frequently seems to have plenty of time to just get into conversations on Twitter, someone tweeted at him, and again, by someone, I don't mean a famous person, just some person tweeted at Kevin Durant that his legacy has died. And Durant tweeted, "I've been dead since July 4th, 2016, but congrats to the Dubs and my boy Steezy, a Fillmore legend. Man been waiting his whole life for a parade on Market Street." Now, July 4th, 2016, for those who don't know, is the day that it was announced that he was signing with the Warriors when he met up with all those guys in the Hamptons. So, again, we will have Big Perk with us a little bit later, but Timmy Legs is here. But, CJ, I will start with you. The idea that Barkley is suggesting and that Durant is obviously sensitive to,
yeah,
that he will not get his full respect until he is driving the bus on a championship team. Do you buy it?
I strongly, strongly disagree with Charles Barkley here. Obviously, he's a legend in his own right. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was the bus driver. However, he didn't win a championship. Mm-hmm. And I think in KD's case, it was different. Obviously, he joined a very, very good team with championship caliber roster, very deep. But he was the bus driver of that team. Obviously, you got Steph Curry, two-time MVP, unanimous. But he averaged 30 points, 7 rebounds, 4.5 assists in his 15 games in his finals career. He showed that he has the ability to take over games late. He was about to win a third straight finals MVP before he ended up getting hurt against the Raptors. But
right.
I think his resume speaks for itself. There's no blemishes on it. Obviously, a lot of people aren't happy with the decision that he made July 4th, but it is what it is, and I think that made him a better basketball player.
Well, let me ask you this, because I don't agree with what you're saying, but the one thing I didn't do when you did was play against them.
Yeah.
So when you played against the Warriors at that time, the KD Warriors, was he the best? Was he... Best is really maybe not the right word I'm looking for. Was that his team? Were those KD's teams?
Best is subjective. Obviously, it was Steph Curry's team. He was there first. The organization, the fans, they loved him more, if you will, because he was there. He was drafted. He was homegrown. But
right.
Obviously, they respected and embraced KD. But I think down the stretch of games, you see who they were going to. He's 7 foot. He does a lot of the things Steph Curry's able to do. However, he's a 7 foot version. And I think people get caught up in comparing. Comparison's a thief of joy. They're both very good in their own right. Steph is arguably, you know, top 10 greatest players of all time after his last run, as Charles talked about. He was the bus driver on this team, and he took them to the finals and won the finals in games in which sometimes he didn't even have help.
Let me get Tim Legler in here, because you are, I hate to say it, Tim, but you and I pretty much do constitute the old heads that Charles Barkley is talking about now. Does KD need to drive a bus for you to give him the respect he wants?
You know, Greeny, first of all, it's okay for you to call me an old head. I would not be happy if CJ did that, man. That would not be cool. But listen, you can call me that. And I get it. Look, here's a mixed bag here. Here's if we're going to use the bus driver analogy, here's how I would describe it. Kevin Durant was definitely the bus driver on those two teams that won championships, but he borrowed somebody else's bus. That's the way I would look at it, because they had already won a championship, right, with Steph Curry. If they had not won a championship to that point, then I think this is a moot conversation, but they had. So Kevin Durant comes in, they win two more. He was the best player on those teams. He was the guy driving the bus on those teams. He had an answer offensively that other guys just didn't have because of his length and his ability to shoot mid-range shots over any defense in front of him. But I also agree with some of what Barkley is saying in terms of you can't just say that every championship carries the same weight. They don't. We all know that. They get ranked differently. They have more substance to them. And so the fact that Kevin Durant went to a ready-made winner, and even though he won a couple of times, I think there is still something left for him to answer. And I think that's what Charles Barkley was saying. If he really wants to get that level of credit, that top-tier respect, that Barkley's alluding to, then it's going to have to go down a different way than joining a team that had already won a championship, that was arguably the best team in the NBA, and then just making them unbeatable for a couple years.
I really liked the way he put that, to be honest with you, because, yeah, he was driving it, but it wasn't a bus. Everyone else was driving a bus, and Kevin Durant was he got in like a very fast car? I don't know, a Mercedes? He was driving a much faster car than a bus, and I maybe that is actually a better way to put it. He might have been the best player on the team, but he joined a team that had won 73 games. It isn't diminishing how good a player he is to suggest that in order for him to get, for that to be regarded in the same way that we regard what Steph just did or what LeBron did in Cleveland in 20, whatever that was, 16 or whatever it is, yeah, that he has to do that. If he does it in Brooklyn now, I think it'll feel completely different.
I think people will always judge him based on what he did. Obviously, some people would like to see him drive a bus of his own car, in a sense, in terms of not joining a team that's already won. And I think he's going to be in position to do that with a healthy roster, with a healthy team around him, obviously, going forward. But I think for me, as a guy who's not an old head, right, as a young head who's 30, a young head who's 30 and played against him and watched how he works, watched the way he approaches the game, watched how skilled and polished he is, if he never wins another championship, I still know that he's one of the greatest players of all time. Charles Barkley knows that. The Warriors fans know that. Brooklyn fans know that. Everybody knows that. And I think it's all subjective, because people are going to continue to compare rosters. They're going to compare eras. And it's just it's too much. It's too complicated. We should just respect his greatness, respect Steph Curry's greatness, and all the other greats that have come before us and all the other greats that will come after
That's
us.
Fair. But I think the only thing pushback I would give you is no one's debating his greatness. Like, his greatness is signed, sealed, and delivered. That's for sure. Now we're talking about tiny little micro fractions of difference here and there, because Kevin Durant is one of those rare players that you do put into the conversation. Well, wait a minute. If he does this, do we start comparing him to LeBron? Do we start comparing him to Michael Jordan? He's that kind of good. He has earned that, which is, again, why I continue to say why he's responding to people on Twitter regularly. I have no earthly idea. We can talk about that another time. However, this may not be the end of this conversation, because according to our friends at Caesars Sportsbook, the Warriors are the favorites to win next season's championship, followed closely by the Nets and the Celtics. I know, CJ, you would like to see the Pelicans on there.
Yeah, and where are the Pelicans?
Well, I mean, if Zion is fully healthy, then you never know. Maybe they belong somewhere in that. But here's the question I want to ask you, Timmy Legler. You know, being there on Thursday night and covering it all as we did, it felt like the climax of something. But do you think we will actually look back at what happened this year as the middle of something? Are we just in the midst of a dynasty and this Warriors team is nowhere near done yet?
Oh, I absolutely think this is the middle. I personally believe that they're going to win another championship, at least one more. I look at the performance of Steph and Klay and Draymond this year. I look at Klay Thompson, I say, You know, it's not like that was a matter of age, why he was so inconsistent. That was a matter of missing 3 years. I think physically he is still a guy that's going to find his consistency again and still be a great basketball player going forward. Steph Curry obviously doesn't look like he has really slowed down much at all. That was some of the best basketball of his career we just watched. Draymond Green, the things that he does, those things are going to travel well as he gets older into his career. And then I look at the rest of these guys. You added a bunch of youth to the equation now. You've got Andrew Wiggins very much in his prime and now playing with a confidence level he never had before. And he's a two-way player now for the first time in his career. I look at guys like Kuminga, Jordan Poole, Moses Moody, James Wiseman. They're just infusing more young talent into this mix and this style of play that, to me, is going to lend itself to winning more championships. So I think very much we are in the middle of it. Now, listen, will they get it done and get it over the finish line? Who knows? A lot of things have to go right. I just know that this team is going to be in the mix for the next couple of years at least in terms of winning more championships, and I believe they will actually win at least one more championship.
I know this is a complicated matter for you as a rival, a competitor, but what do you think?
Personally, I hope that the Pelicans are winning championships right in the next few years, but I think Tim is right. He's spot on. Obviously, you look at Steph Curry, right? Face of the franchise, all-world player. He's a galaxy. He's a planet, whatever description you want to use for him. He makes them go, and he's virtually unstoppable. And I think this last championship put him in rare air. You talked about being your own bus driver. Mm-hmm. He's rolled on buses. He's driven buses. And now he basically owns the bus.
He owns the bus, yes. It's his bus.
I think they're positioned really well for the next 3 to 5 years. Obviously, you look at their roster from top to bottom. It starts with Steph, Clay, Dre. But you look at the passing of the torch. You got Jordan Poole. Somebody who's probably going to get paid this summer, right? He's going to be on under contract for a while. You got Andrew Wiggins, who's probably going to be under contract for a while. You look at the rest of the young guys they drafted. They got a kid who was top three pick who hasn't played all year. Mm-hmm. That tells you how deep they are. And you look at two key factors, right? Steph Curry is always going to be able to do what? Shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Klay Thompson's always going to be able to shoot, right? That doesn't age. Maybe the lift's not the same. Maybe the quickness isn't the same. But the way they play on and off the ball with split post cuts, Draymond, he's banging. He's always going to be able to use his mind. He's always going to be able to defend. He's always going to have that motor. Those are the type of things that travel well and age well in which you think the Warriors, you know, scary. It's scary because they're going to be good for quite some time.
Yeah, they have to keep that group together. Tim, quick final word on that. They've got, I mean, Wiggins is talking about getting a bag, and Jordan Poole's talking about getting a bag, and you can't give everybody a bag, you know, but if
they're... Oh, they can.
They can. You have to be... Yeah. As long as they don't have a trouble, if they don't run out of bags, they're going to be really dangerous, right, Timmy?
Hey, Greeny, listen, they have a bus, right? There's not room for a lot of bags on a bus. That's all I'm saying. When you got a bus... And we keep talking about this. And by the way, I heard you guys a second ago talking about, you know, driving the bus and whatever. I think Steph Curry built the damn bus. I mean, I would not be shocked if you see him on one of those mechanic dollies, right, rolling out from under the bus with grease all over him because he just changed the oil on that thing. He details the bus. It's his bus. And this bus still looks pretty darn good to me. And I think, listen, you're right, it's complicated. It's difficult to pay everyone. But I do think that's not something necessarily that's going to rear itself here in the next couple of years. I think they're going to have some guys now that are going to join their rotation going forward. It's not their time to get that bag yet, and that's going to help them tremendously when I talk about guys like Wiseman and Kuminga, Jordan Poole in particular.
And one more important point to make, because you just made me think of it. The team that Stephen Curry joined, the franchise he joined, was not this. The Golden State Warriors are now the glamour franchise in the sport that everybody wants to be a part of. They were a forgotten franchise when Steph got there. So when you say he literally built it from the ground up, I think that's as true as it can possibly be. All right, Big Perk is on his way in. He's on a bus right now, and he's in traffic. He will be with us live to continue the basketball conversation as we go. But, oh, did you watch the U.S. Open this weekend in Brookline? I certainly did. And let's take you right to where it finished. Matthew Fitzpatrick and Will Zalatoris battling it down to the final hole, and Matthew Fitzpatrick from the fairway bunker on 18 hit what I think is going to be remembered as one of the greatest shots in U.S. Open history. I don't know that we can do justice just how challenging that shot was under the circumstances, frankly, in any circumstances. And he would two putt from there, which means Zalatoris needed to make this from 14 feet away, and it was just that close. And it is another agonizing second place finish for Zalatoris and for Matthew Fitzpatrick, who won the U.S. Amateur on that same golf course some years ago. He now wins the U.S. Open, his first win ever in the United States. He joins Jack Nicklaus as the only male golfers to win the Amateur and the Open at the same venue. He won both of those events at Pebble Beach. Congratulations to Matthew Fitzpatrick from Northwestern. All right, as we continue, did you hear what Bart Scott said about Peyton and Brady? Is it possible he's actually right? We're talking about it. Plus, he calls himself the Petty King. Just what is behind Steph Curry settling scores in the wake of his fourth NBA title? That's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up. Hey, Dominique Foxworth, this is the NC State football team during their practice. What exactly are we doing here?
Team building, I guess. I don't know how this relates to football, but it seems like a hell of a fun, a lot of fun. I think we should do that and Get Up. Can we get some of these out? I got some producers that I want to see in the ring immediately. Zach Benavide, I'm looking at you.
P.K. Subban and I are going to put those on a little bit later, and we'll try this. Is this football? I have to confess, they did not show this to me ahead of time. I'm seeing it for the first time, and it is even funnier than they promised me it was going to be. Okay, very well done. Let me get Jeremy Fowler in here, and let's follow that, Fowler. Let's run the hurry up. Free agent news. Let's start with Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to top that, Greeny, but Odell Beckham, Rams optimistic that they can re-sign him. They are hopeful, but Beckham could take his time here because talking to teams, they don't expect Beckham to be healthy until October or maybe even November as far as full go back from that ACL. So Beckham can take his time, maybe even wait until the first couple weeks of the season, see who's hot, who needs a receiver. He will likely go to a contender. Now let's switch it up. Who do we have next here? We got Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, over the next month, the plan is for him to start throwing a football before training camp. That's the loose plan. And so that should heat up his trade market. And so the 49ers are hopeful to find a trade for him. Still watch for Carolina here because they're the team that's combing through the veteran quarterback market more than anyone else. They've been implicated with Baker Mayfield, but they've also discussed Garoppolo. As soon as he's healthy, the 49ers would be off the books on his $7-plus million in injury guarantees. That's good for them. Rob Gronkowski, the people I talk to believe that he will play next season, but no firm decision yet from Gronk. The Bucs are simply waiting, giving him his space. They're loosely planning for him to be in the lineup. They budgeted for that. They're hopeful. They're largely expecting that. But only Gronkowski and a few people truly know right now, haven't made that announcement. Should come closer to late July.
All right, so Gronkowski in the conversation, and so is his legendary quarterback. All right, so Tom Brady. For most of Brady's career, there was a debate over Brady or Manning, and he sort of ended that by staying as long as he has and winning as much as he has. But our Bart Scott was on the radio last week, his regular ESPN radio show. He played, of course, against both Brady and Manning, and he said Manning was hands down more difficult to defend. Listen.
I'd much rather go against Tom Brady every day of the week than to go against
Peyton Manning. That's how you feel.
I believe that's how everybody feels.
Interesting. I like that.
Like, in the heyday, you never, ever have I said, I'm so afraid of Tom Brady. Peyton Manning gives you a total sense, a different set of anxiety. Like, you have anxiety. Like, you sleep at night like, damn, I do not want to be the tip.
So that's fascinating, and it is worth pointing out. That's not saying that Manning is better than Brady, but it is a very specific point that he's making. Dominique, you were a defensive back. You played against both of them. Is he right?
Yeah, I think he's absolutely 100% right. And obviously, no one would rather play against Brady or play against Manning now, or Brady now. We'd rather play against Peyton right now. But back then, when Bart and I were playing, Manning was much more difficult to prepare for, and it's all about, like, there was no way to be right against him because you had to have 12 guys, including the people on the sideline, sending in the signals, had to have us all on the same accord because he would study film to the point where if one person was out of place, he could understand the coverage and be ready to break it down. It's a really hard thing to do, play in and play out for the course of an entire game, even with his limited arm strength as he got older. His accuracy was there and his decision-making was there. So I think Brady was obviously or is a greater quarterback, but Peyton at his peak was much harder to play against for defenders.
It's an interesting thought. Tim, as a quarterback yourself, how do you assess this?
Yeah, I agree with Bart and Neek on this. Look, the reality is Peyton changed the game in a way that everybody, including the Patriots, started to copy. What Dominique is talking about in terms of signals, guys being aligned, is real. Basically, what Peyton did was it didn't matter what the original call was. Peyton would get to the line of scrimmage and he had complete control and he always would find a way to get into the right play. And what people started to do was try to copy them. So ultimately, when you look around at like what happened to the league, like New England started hiring assistants that had been in New England at some time to copy some of the things the Colts were doing. So like it just changed football. Like Buddy Ryan's 46 defense changed football. Peyton Manning changed football, and so that's why I would agree.
You know, it's interesting. We're sitting here talking about Steph Curry and the way he has changed. It's not because he's greater than some other players, but what he did was so different than anyone had ever done before, and that goes into the equation. What do you think of all this, Jeremy Fowler?
Yeah, I love the point. People forget how good Peyton Manning really was. The only way I would push back is that I feel like their primes were a little different between Brady and Manning because Brady only got better. By the time Manning retired in the last 7-8 years, Brady has only strengthened his mental game, right? The things that Manning was so good at, pre-snap reads, feeling out the defense, winning with your mind. When you ask like teams nowadays, coaches, executives, a lot of people say Tom Brady, they feel like is the absolute best at that all time. And he became that later on in his career. So when he played against Manning, maybe not so much, only got better with time.
All right, hold this thought. I want to come back to this. I'm up against the break, but I want to come back to this because I think it's a really interesting concept, and it does kind of dovetail off the Steph Curry thing. But I'll take a very short timeout. We have so much to do this morning. Coming up, speaking of quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes taking aim at Tyreek Hill's recent comments about his accuracy. Wait till you hear what Mr. Mahomes had to say. Plus, Steph Curry went on a revenge tour of pettiness. Our own Dominique Foxworth was in his sights. You'll hear what Steph said and how Neek responds next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await get you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, where Kendrick Perkins is still stuck somewhere in traffic, but that does not mean he's not a man of the people. CJ, take a look at this at an AAU tournament. Go. CJ, what do we make of this?
I love the energy. I love the AAU energy. I love Big Park being there coaching the son. I love the fact that he's involved as a father. Shout out to my father, Eric McCollum the first. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I hope you had a great one.
Well said. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Big Perk, again, will join us as we continue the show this morning because he's got to continue to face the music. But right now, it is going to be Dominique's turn to face the music. So I take you back. This goes starting last week. Actually, it goes all the way back to last August on First Take. Hit it.
I hate to say this right now, but to be honest with you, I don't see the Golden State Warriors bringing home another championship.
Y'all go sit on First Take. You and Dominique Foxworth are going to sit on First Take and say that Steph Curry will not be in the conversation for a championship in the next 4 years. Yeah.
Clearly remember some experts and talking heads putting up the big zero of how many championships we would have going forward because of everything that we went through.
Dominique, I made Big Perk face the music on Friday. Now it's your turn. What is your response?
First of all, I might want to get a haircut because I look so much younger and handsomer back then. Second of all, like, he deserves it. Like, they are the best at what they do. And we sit on here week after week and find ways to critique the very best of all time. If he wants to spend any bit of his press conference after winning a championship dunking on the doubters, I am here for it. I want to celebrate it. I hope next time it ain't me, but I do appreciate that a lot more than if he got up there and said, we did our best. I don't listen to the noise. Like, I don't want the lies. I want the honesty, even if it is petty. It was a lot more fun for all of us to be involved in. Just next time, I hope I'm right.
Fair enough. You've been right a heck of a lot more times than you've been wrong on this show over the years. But, you know, one of the things that's fascinating to me, having been around this as I was in my role now covering the NBA, is just how much pettiness and settling of scores there was coming out of Golden State. I think it's sort of outside of Draymond Green, somewhat contrary to what their image has been. But someone pointed out something that Steph had said in the middle of last week that maybe means it should not have been a surprise. Listen to this.
I'm the petty king, so I know all about everything. And I use it as entertainment and just have fun with it.
He's the petty king. Now, A, that's not the image that I think most people have of Steph Curry. But B, it is also a fascinating insight into the psychology, I think, of the modern athlete. You're Steph Curry, for crying out loud. You're one of the greatest players of all time. You have eagled the whole of life, and yet you are paying extraordinary attention, Tim Legler, to the things that anyone is saying about you. You're watching First Take on August 4th, and you're worried that people are holding up little zeros about how many championships. Tim Legler, what do we make of that?
Look, I don't know if he's the petty king, if he's petty white, petty Crocker, Richard Petty, whatever name you want to use. All right, listen, here's what I know. Throughout history, this is nothing new. I mean, it's Kobe Bryant used to do this. Michael Jordan used to do this. What you're doing is you're trying to find another way to not just motivate yourself, but maintain that fuel for more. And that's really what Steph Curry's alluding to. Look, these guys might say they're not paying attention or they tune it all out. Just not true. Whether they hear it firsthand or third hand from one of their boys, they know what's being said out there, especially nowadays with social media. It's so much easier to track this stuff. So they're always aware, and it's in their back pocket, and then they pull it out if they have validation. And that's all Steph Curry did right there.
How about it, CJ? You're a current player, so you're sort of more part of this. And you actually have been very active in the media long before you came here. So you have a real sense of all of this. What do you think of that?
I love it. I think Tim hit on it perfectly. The great ones, the average ones. We all watch everything. We watch every interview. And if we're not watching it, our mama's watching it, our cousin's watching it, our auntie's watching it. My grandma watches First Take to see what suit I'm going to wear, and she gets excited about it. So I love the fact that He keeps his receipts. Draymond keeps his receipts. Draymond had a tweet that was very indicative of how all the Warriors feel right now. He said, debate with your mama, basically, telling people you can argue our greatness, you can argue how good I am as a player, you can argue about my attitude, you can argue about me recording podcasts in the middle of the finals, but you can't argue about these four rings that I got. You can't argue about my defensive player of the year, you can't argue about my first team all defense, and you can't argue about Steph Curry because he's seen everybody talk about how he doesn't have a finals MVP, how he hasn't driven his own bus. Well, now he's built the bus. He's built the city up basically from scratch. And they're printing money out there in the Bay.
Yeah, I mean, he built this new building that we just spent the last couple of weeks in. Like, how about it all, Dominique? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the point that you made earlier was like, you're Steph Curry. Why are you listening to all this? We don't treat them like the great players that they actually are. Like, we spend all these months being critical of them. So I assume that they don't feel that way. Like, we're looking at it like, Steph Curry, you're so great. You won three championships. How could you be caught up in what some random guy's talking about on First Take? But the fact is, that's what we're talking about on First Take. And people did use the lack of MVP trophy or finals MVP trophy as a dig against him. So this was a significant championship for him. And I know certainly whenever I get the chance to dunk on somebody who doubted me, I'm going to do it. So I'll be damned if I'm going to be mad when someone does it to me. Congratulations to him and Draymond Green. And I download the podcast just to listen. I just wish next time they call me out by name. I mean, calling me expert talk ahead or that guy, like, that's no fun. Name names.
I guess I would, as speaking for the one who has only ever been on this side of it, and I've been doing it since the early 90s, since a day when, I mean, I was hosting radio shows, we were soliciting faxes from our listeners, so that's how long I've been doing this, okay? Most people watching don't even know what a fax machine is anymore. The point is, no one is questioning Steph Curry's greatness. You guys weren't questioning whether Steph Curry was great or not. You were asked a question. Do you think they will win another championship? It's a perfectly reasonable opinion at that time, Dominique, to have said, no, I don't think so. You're not insulting Steph Curry.
I certainly agree with what you're saying, but that's not how you experience it when it's you. Like, when somebody is saying something the slightest bit critical of me or showing some lack of confidence. When I got my first scholarship offer in high school, my teacher was like, hey, you need to take that scholarship to Duke because you may not get into another school. Duke was not a football school. I was insulted by that. She thought that she was just saying the thing that would help me out. So, like, I understand the point. From her perspective, it's like, let me tell this guy some good advice or whatever. From my perspective, it is, she thinks I can't do anything. And I can't speak for Steph, but when people are being critical of you or doubting you, it feels a lot more personal and it feels like a dig. I'm sure Steph Curry didn't lose any sleep over me holding up a zero sign, but it sure feels good to be able to dunk on somebody afterwards. Speaking of which, I need to call my teacher.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there for the moment. We're going to get Kendrick Perkins in. We'll talk more about this as we go. It is a fascinating glimpse into the psychology of the modern athlete. I do believe this is a little different than it was once upon a time. We can talk more about it as we go. Meanwhile, let me run the bases. Baseball season heating up here. Let's talk about what happened to the Yankees yesterday. Blue Jays rallied from 5 down to beat the Yanks, snapping their 9-game winning streak. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. with a 5th career grand slam. Teoscar Hernandez with a go-ahead 3-run homer. It was a 10-9 win for Toronto. Meanwhile, what a debut it was for Gerard Encarnacion. With a go-ahead 7th-inning grand slam for his first hit, he became the first player since Brandon Crawford in 2011 to hit a grand slam as his first hit in his Major League debut. Marlins beat the Mets 6-2. Elsewhere, Pirates-Giants, Jack Suwinski hit his 3rd home run of the game in the 9th inning, giving Pittsburgh a 4-3 walk-off win over San Francisco to avoid a 3-game sweep. And the Men's College World Series continues today from Omaha with an elimination game between Stanford and Auburn. That's 2 Eastern. Then the winner's bracket matchup between Arkansas and Ole Miss will be under the lights tonight at 7. Both games are on ESPN and the app, so you can watch from anywhere. Coming up, Mr. Mahomes responds to his former teammate's criticism with a little jab of his own. So he's involved in the disrespect conversation now. Wait till you hear this next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
back on Get Up, our wake-up call this morning. Sue Bird, probably her last game ever in New York. Listen.
Abby Williams, you see the realizing killing time. Bird for three. Win it! So Sue Bird, maybe in her last shot attempt in New York, gets the three.
Now it's time to pass the torch. I do have one last thing to say. I don't think the Brooklyn fans are going to like it. Bing bong.
Oh, she's doing a little trash talking. But look, she has thrived when playing against New York in her career. 222 assists against the Liberty, second most by any player against that franchise. She's also won 8 straight games against New York dating back to 2018.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
I've missed that. Here's Dominique Foxworth. Yeah, and by the way, I disagree. I like your hair this way better, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going to ask you now a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions, and you're going to answer them whether you're ready or not. Here's the first. Should Lamar Jackson skip training camp if he does not have a contract extension?
I don't think he should. I mean, there are some protections that he can get financially, but because of Lamar Jackson's style of play, something that not a lot of teams, I think, are in love with, and because I think a lot of people are always looking for excuses to take a shot at Lamar Jackson, he can't afford to have a poor start to the season. So training camp, I think, is relatively safe. I think I can trust that the Ravens want to get a deal done with him and he wants to stay there. I don't think him coming out and having a poor start to the season, which missing training camp doesn't mean that he'll have a poor start, but if he does have a poor start, I think there are lots of people who follow this game, lots of people inside this game who are waiting for an opportunity to say, see, we told you this type of quarterback cannot work, and I don't think Lamar Jackson can afford to have that impact his value.
Okay, next, a different quarterback situation. San Francisco. Trey Lance becomes the starter. So, right. Is it more likely that with him at the quarterback, the Niners will A, miss the playoffs, or B, get back to the NFC Championship game?
I think it's more likely they get to the championship game. I'm a believer in everything that Kyle Shanahan has done since he's been, I mean, even back to when he was a coordinator. And you add this extra ability and what they have with Trey Lance as a real runner, like built like a tight end. He's a big guy who can run and make plays. I think the game is going to be made very easy for him because of Kyle Shanahan and because of his running attack. They're not going to ask him to do too much, but he's going to give them bigger plays than Jimmy Garoppolo was able to give him. I think that he has a very successful first year as a starter.
Okay, one more. And this time I admit I'm setting you up. So my question is, how many more championships do you believe Steph Curry and the Warriors will win? And I want you to answer the question with your fingers.
Sure, no problem. I think that all this pettiness is just proof that they're going to rest on their laurels. So I'll answer it with all of them. Double zeros. We go zero goggles. Steph Curry and the Warriors are done winning championships. They're just going to have to go away with a measly 4.
That's correct. Very well done, Dominique. I threw you right back into the fire. You know, and speaking of all the pettiness, I mean, Steph calls himself the petty king. Tyreek Hill has been critical about the way the Chiefs used him during his time in Kansas City. And he even said that Tua Tagovailoa is a more accurate passer than Patrick Mahomes. That is something that took Mahomes by surprise. Listen.
I'm surprised a little just because I feel like we love Tyreek here. We've always loved him. We still love him. I mean, I'm sure it had something to do with trying to get his podcast some stuff and get it rolling. But definitely, I still love Tyreek. He's a one-of-a-kind player. But as you know, in Coach Reed's offense, it takes the whole team. I mean, this offense was rolling before I got here. This offense was rolling when I was a young Cowboy fan watching the Eagles beat up on the Cowboys. So, I mean, it's an offense that's more than one player, and that includes myself.
So that's an interesting answer. Oh, here you are over here. Sorry, as we bring Jeremy Fowler and Tim Hasselbeck into the conversation. And Tim, I'll start with you as the quarterback here. I've used this phrase Scorched Earth Tour to describe a few players in recent years, most recently Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago, and we were completely right on that one and a few others. Patrick Mahomes, he's being questioned by Tyreek Hill. I feel like he's been somewhat questioned for his performance all of last season, in particular in the playoffs and their loss to Cincinnati. Is Patrick Mahomes about to go on a scorched earth tour and set the NFL on fire this year? Tim Hasselbeck.
Granny, I don't know any more than he has already, right? So, look, do I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a good year? I do. Regardless of Tyreek Hill's criticism or anybody else's, I just think, you know, the challenge of him maybe having better years than he's had in the past with the defense that is in his, you know, current division, I can't say that it's going to look different than other years in his career.
Neek, I mean, again, by his ridiculously lofty standards, I don't want him to come back after winning the Super Bowl and say, hey, I was watching Get Up that day, and the guy Greeny suggested I stink.
That's
now.
Exactly what I was
what
saying.
I'm saying is by his impossibly high standards, he did not have a great year last year, and he played badly in the AFC Championship game.
The year prior to that, he scorched the earth, and the year before that, the earth was scorched, he gave the earth a little bit of a break. So right. I don't expect him to scorch it one more time. Like, keep burning it down if you want to close the crops at some point. So I think he's a made man as far as that's concerned. He's already reached that point in career where championships is all that matters. It's all we count for him. But to your point about him using this as motivation, I think this is a perfect example of what the way that athletes hear something totally different than we do. Because I didn't think what Tyreek Hill said meant that much. And like, Patrick Mahomes went through a whole long soliloquy about the history of this offense. It's clear that that got under his skin, because Tyreek Hill said very clearly, obviously he's not a better quarterback. He's just trying to hype up his new guy and move some podcast units, but it's still whatever. It got under his skin to some degree, which is shocking to me.
Fowler, what do you think?
Great players need a reason to be spiteful, and Patrick Mahomes got just that. And that comment, that was unprompted. He brings up the offense and it not being about one guy. Yeah. That's his way of reminding people, hey, we won at least 12 games every year since I've been with Andy Reid, and we're going to get this going. Now he knows he's going to be doubted because Tyreek Hill had a little bit of that Steph Curry presence to him, where three or four bodies are running at him at all times, takes up a lot of the defense. He doesn't have that now. He knows the onus is on him, and he plans to deliver.
Yeah, that's a good final thought here, Tim. I mean, the absence of Tyreek Hill might seem to fly in the face of what I'm saying, that Mahomes will have, you know, a legendary season, however you want to define that. Because, again, he does that pretty much every year. Does that fly in the face of it? I mean, he's got to miss Tyreek Hill at least a little, yes?
Yeah, I think they will miss Tyreek a little, but I think the production will come from a combination of guys. And ultimately, they'll still have a really good offense. I would just say this, like, in terms of, you know, whatever, the thing that guys use is motivation or the pettiness or however you want to say it. Players, this is across the board, are sensitive. Like, in fairness to Dominique, I think the least sensitive players are defensive backs. But everybody else is sensitive. Like, quarterbacks are sensitive when people talk about them. Linemen are sensitive because they wore T-shirts at the public swimming pool as kids. Like, the reality is, guys are sensitive, and they react to all of this stuff.
Okay. Can I defend DBs for a second? We're the reason why we're not sensitive is because we're broken. We're broken inside. You've already beaten us down to a point where we understand that nothing we can do is going to make you happy. So we just live for ourselves.
By the way, Damian Woody is on the phone, Timmy. He would like a word. We have more football as we go. But right now to the Stanley Cup Final is our next stop here, where Colorado's up 2-0 on the two-time defending champs. The Avalanche have scored 11 goals in the two games. That is tied for the most through two games over the last 30 Cup Finals. Colorado also did it in 96 when it won the Cup. With the series now shifting to Tampa, the Avalanche are 7-0 on the road, tied for the second longest road winning streak to begin a postseason in NHL history. And more bad news for the Lightning. They're the sixth team ever to fall behind 2-0 in each of the final two rounds of a postseason. None of the previous five went on to win the Cup. And so, again, P.K. Subban is in our studio, and we're just delighted to have you. And let me start with that, because I feel like you could spin that stat either way. The Lightning were just in this situation. Yep. It feels like yesterday against the Rangers, they not only climbed out of that hole, they fought their way out of that hole. Can they do it again here?
Well, this is the Stanley Cup Final. I don't think that's going to be easy by any means. Colorado's a team that's been through a lot of ups and downs over the years. But really, when Tampa Bay looks across, the ice. They see a team that's probably very similar to who they were when they started winning Stanley Cups. This is a team that's been built the right way to win championships. I played in Nashville, eliminated Colorado a few years ago. You could tell this was a team that wanted to get there, that wanted to make that jump. Now they got Cale Makar, who in my opinion is probably going to win the Norris Trophy this year. Yossi had a great year too, but this guy might even be the best player in the playoffs right now. They have it all going on, and Tampa just hasn't been able to establish that forecheck against Tampa, against Colorado and slow them down. Colorado's the fastest team in the league, and it showed in the first two
games. So then maybe you sort of give us a hint as to the answer here, but what specifically do the Lightning have to do? Let's say tonight, game three, they need this
win.
One.
Must win.
How do they do it?
Well, I think they got to park the first two games, right? They did that in the Rangers series. They won four straight. They know how to win hockey games. They can score goals, but it's defense for them. They got to find a way to slow Colorado down. They got to get in on the forecheck, make it hard for Makar, make it hard for Taves, make it hard for Byram. They can't let these guys run shop coming out of their zone. You watch game one and game two. These guys are skating the puck up the ice. It's a four-man attack. That's the way Colorado plays. They got to slow them down. They got to get on the forecheck and get physical.
Quickly, I feel like you're leaning strongly Colorado. Do you believe the Lightning win tonight and make this into a...
They listen to me. This is the biggest challenge that Tampa's going to face. And right now, Colorado's rested. They're younger, they're poised, they're hungry. Tampa's got two cups looking for three. We know that's not going to be easy. They got to beat the best team in the league right now. That's Colorado. They're in tough. I expect this game to potentially go to overtime. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tight. It's a must win for Tampa, but Colorado's coming.
That'd be fascinating to watch. In the meantime, this man has been doing a little traveling.
On ESPN. I love it.
You were in Montreal yesterday, PK. Tell us exactly what it is that we're seeing here. What do we got going on here?
Well, I went into Montreal with Red Bull. I've been a Red Bull athlete for a while now. That's not a great clip. I'm a horrible driver, if I'm going to be honest with you. Horrible behind the wheel. Never driven a Zamboni before either. And it's clutch down, PK. Come on. No, it was fun. I had a lot of fun this weekend with Checo and a couple of the guys here participating in some fun. My Zamboni skills. I think everybody got a good kick out of that. Everyone's happy to see me back on ESPN.
See you riding that thing around on the track. And again, game three is tonight. We got it for you coming up here. Abs up 2-0. The cup is essentially on the line. Coverage starts tonight, 8 Eastern on ABC and ESPN+. More with PK as we continue. Meanwhile, up next, KD Trey. He is having his say. Durant sending Twitter a flitter. You won't believe what he's saying now. You will hear it next.